asked you for a pickup, and then I'm waiting for that pickup, and then I get a message going, "Oh, I fell asleep or I just woke up."
Is it true,
Propaganda.
G? Nah, you know, it's my propaganda. You know
G,
what I'm saying.
G, G, come on. Don't call me a liar in this one. You know. The churches, the gyms, the
He's had one too many shots of that whiskey and
everything. I've just started, mate. Kids just off
more,
to bed. I don't drink and parent anymore. It
because
leads to falling asleep on my part. Trying to get the kids to sleep, and then all of a sudden you're asleep and the kids are just running around.
Gabriel, what are you saying? You good?
I'm all right, George, man. I'm all right. I want to be released now, man. Open the gates.
Open the gates. Wait, I've been out here, so I'm lucky, but yeah, I
Yeah,
can't
yeah, you,
talk
yeah. You've
about
been about, man.
that.
Now, I think the worst thing they could have done is told me 2 months in advance that yeah, we might open things in April, because now I'm just itching to get out, man.
Gee, can I ask, in that group, yeah, how long are you gonna lie about who you are as a person?
I don't know what you're talking about.
I saw your comments on the little Nas stuff, and I just thought this guy's fronting, man. He's homo.
I'd like to call myself a reformed. You're not. Oh, you're recording, Jordan. Therefore,
And you know what's worse? You know what's messed up about that? I'm pretty sure Marvin knew.
I didn't, I didn't, I didn't, I
Plenty
didn't.
assist. What I'm saying is, it don't make you a homophobe to object to what he did. I think what he did was a fuckery.
You know what? It's funny, right? Because I was listening to all the comments, and to be honest with you, I'm not positioned well enough to make a comment because I haven't seen the video. I've heard what the video consists of and all that, but I haven't seen it myself. And what I found crazy about the whole situation was Vicky's rationale was like, when a girl
I mean, for the sake of
does.
the pod, I mean, maybe we should leave names off the thing. Just come on.
Well, a certain person was talking
It's too late
about,
now, Marvin, but go on anyway.
well, she was talking about the fact that if a girl did it, everyone would be like, pump, pump, pump it up, pump, pump, pump. But when it's little Nas, it's a problem. And I take her point, but actually, I would go the other way. I wouldn't like back little Nas and say everyone else did it. I just think everyone should stop doing it. I generally think the world is madly too sexualized now. Do you know what I mean? From WAP to, because they're using Madonna. Like there was uproar. We were just too young when Madonna was doing the just like a prayer and the pointy bra, right? But if you think about what we liked, and you look at people like Destiny's Child writing on the wall and what they were wearing and what they were doing, it's very tame to
Listeners,
what we're
we'll get to the
seeing
football
now.
talk in a minute, but yeah, go on, go, sorry, go
Yeah,
on.
even Madonna's pointed bra was very tame
Yeah.
compared to that. You know what
I
I
mean,
mean?
I watched the
I mean, you say that, G, but was it?
It's a point of bra. I mean, people
30
wear
years
that
ago,
with
was it?
no. That's it.
Yeah, that is
Relatively,
it.
it's nothing. People
Yeah.
can people go out with just their nipples covered now. You know what I
Oh,
mean?
he's right, Jordan. I mean, I saw the Grammy performance with Megan Thee Stallion and Cardi B, and I was just like if I had a daughter, I could never have her watching the Grammys. Like it's as simple as that. Whereas Madonna might have gone a bit risque at the Grammys, but there would have been no like writhing and dry humping and all them things there. That was just a bit mad for me.
It's embarrassing. They're always sisters as well. That's
Well,
the worst thing about it. Well,
the
Madonna
funny
isn't,
thing
but
is, on the flip side to their point, right? Sex sells, right? Like WAP was arguably the biggest song of Megan Thee Stallion and Cardi B's career, right? So if they're gonna get the views, then they're gonna do more sexy things, isn't it? It's just
yeah.
like a self-fulfilling prophecy. Personally, I watched the video multiple times for research to condemn it,
Yeah, of
but
course you did. Of course you did. Anyway, let's go in now. Ollie's with us now. Good evening, Ollie. How are you?
That's good.
Oh, you're on mute, dude. You're on mute.
Take your time, Mo.
Okay, so while Ollie's sorting out his sound, Aguero's off.
You saw that coming though, innit?
Yeah.
The real question is, where does he land now? He's not done.
No. The real question for me is, who do they get? Because I reckon this is the segue now into all the next 2 months being about
Haaland.
Who they going for? Do you know what I mean? Getting that deal done.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Getting that deal done.
I don't know. I mean, you guys...
I don't think it will be Haaland personally as well.
You guys were licking their ass on how good their, like, this hierarchy is. And it wouldn't surprise me if, before this announcement was made, the deal is done. Whoever they plan to bring in...
Me neither.
Is already in the bag, right? And they might let it play out a bit, but they probably know who it is.
So, George, if you're saying it's not Haaland, who do you think they're getting?
I think they'll have a kind of surprise us with some left field 22-year-old striker from Europe that's doing okay, but has two more levels to go. Or I wouldn't rule out the boy from... I wouldn't rule out Lukaku, you know? Yeah, I wouldn't rule it out. Or his partner, or Martinez, Lautaro Martinez. I wouldn't rule out Lukaku.
You see, the thing for me is Martinez isn't an out-and-out number nine, so I don't think they'll sign him.
That's why I wouldn't rule it out.
But then Lukaku is one of those things where I just think Pep really appreciates a player with a first touch.
It's improved. Come on, Marvin. It has improved.
Has it? It has.
I'm not saying it's good enough, but it's improved. It hasn't.
That's like saying my Hebrew is improved because I can say a word. It's like it doesn't mean anything. The funny thing is, every time I see his goal record and I think, yeah, okay, there's an improvement, I watch a game and then I'm like, nah, it's still shit.
But the finishing is emphatic, though. Yeah, I will say that.
And actually, the goal he scored for Belgium on the weekend was crazy for two reasons. One, his first touch was actually brilliant and he weaved in and out, like he took a few touches to defeat the defender. But then second of all, his actual finish was quite poor and it just, like, the keeper should have just done better, basically. So it's like...
I just don't see City spending 160 million, 150 million on a striker. I just don't see them doing it.
I don't know. If the new FFP rules come in...
That's true.
And
Martinez isn't a bad shout, though, because he is young. I think he's like 23, 24. Yeah. That would fit the MO.
And Inter need the money as well.
Mm. Yeah, because Inter owe us cash for...
Inter owe everybody cash, bro.
For Lukaku, I think. Yeah, I think they owe us cash for him.
Anyway, this is the FFP, myself, Jordan.
Oh, here. Ollie's gone. Where's he gone?
I don't know where Ollie's gone. Ollie's gone to sort out his sound or whatever, but he'll be back. I'm joined by Marvin G and we think Ollie imminently. Everybody happy? Everybody nice? Everyone nice? Everyone good?
Yeah, man, not too bad.
Yeah, can't complain, George. Can't complain. How you doing?
You know what? We've been doing this podcast now 5 years and you've never once responded with, how are you doing, Jordan? So I'll take this opportunity to kind of just tell you that I'm doing all right. I'm a little bit tired right now. I've been working hard recently. Got some stuff coming up. Had some food earlier on.
We didn't care that much,
you know what's bad about what George did, right? He kind of like made us seem like bad people for not asking, but then he asked the question and in the back of my mind I'm going, shit, I'm not asking this guy again. The guy's telling me he ate some food. Do you know what I mean? Like, what do you want me to do with that? And I'm sure it's not the only time we've asked him. He's just being dramatic. Edit this bit out because I don't want the audience to think we care about how you're doing. We no longer do. We did for a split second, but you ruined it.
And we got Ollie back. Ollie, can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you. It was okay. It kept messing around with my mic, saying my mic wasn't working, so it wouldn't let me in.
We got you loud and clear now.
But yeah, it's working now. At last.
How are you, sir?
Yeah, I'm good. Yeah. Can't wait for this discussion.
So, to inform the listeners, this week we're going to be talking about England and the Euros more widely. Ollie, just for kind of disclosure, couldn't give two figs about England or the Euros. but he's been kind enough to you know, give us his time and bless the pod with his presence nevertheless. So we appreciate you biting the bullet, Ollie. Take him on for the team.
Miles, what's going on with your hair, man? You got afro going.
Bro. And the thing is, I can't believe how high it is, so I keep touching it. But let me tell you,
I like it.
There's no barber. And I'm one of those people that play by the rules, yeah?
Yeah.
So me and the kids, like, combing in the morning, come breakfast time, you'll hear the wails from down the street, from them and me. But I'm just riding it for now. It's long, bro. I can put... Remember back in school where you could do the pencil test and someone used to put the pencil... I could do all of that right now. But that's how it is. That's lockdown, right? The funny thing is, my passport's expired and I'm trying to hold it down until... I get a trim, but I just feel like someone's going to go, Marv, I've got a ticket for you to go somewhere. A man ain't going to be able to go because it's expired. So we'll see. I'm not in hat country yet, but it's getting long. It's getting long, man.
Record. Wow. The only person that's not getting a haircut, because everyone I know, they're breaking rules out here, left, right and centre.
Yeah.
You
know.
Yeah. The funny thing is, yeah, I'm a critic, innit? So a couple of times I'm watching games and I'm like, oh, Rashford's trim's too neat. That guy is definitely breaking rules, isn't it? So I don't want to be that guy that's calling out people and then meanwhile I'm breaking the rules. So I'll wait for the barber.
I baited up my guy at work the other day, or literally on Friday. He came in and I said to him, oh, Liam, you're looking really, really sharp. Trim there, not realizing what I was saying. Said it really loud. And then he responded with, yeah, my flatmate, he's a barber. And I didn't get why he was being so awkward. I'm like, why are you telling me that for? And then I clocked, but obviously the whole newsroom heard that he's obviously broken lockdowns. Anyway, where are we? Yeah, so England chat today. And what we're going to do, we're going to, apart from Ollie, we're going to go through the squads, the England squad, which we, if we were in charge, we would take to England, because pretty much for England, it's a home tournament. And I want to also have the central question, guys. How do you win a major European tournament? What is a key element to winning a Euros or a World Cup? Okay. Before we get to that, let's very quickly go through the squads, me, G and Marvin, who we would take, because I think there may be some crossover and there may be some talking points. And that's about Ollie. Feel free to chip in as and when you want, really.
It's weird because I know who he's not taking. And I just feel like if O had his way, there'd just be an empty plane and Harry Kane. But I can't be wrong.
You missed though, Marv. You said you only mentioned Ali and Dyer. You forgot Winks. What about Winks?
He spent
all season going on about how he needs to leave Spurs because he needs to get more games to be in the Euros. And I'm thinking, how are you even in the conversation?
Well, you know what's funny about that, right? Two things. First of all, when I wrote Ali, I thought, you know what, I'm forgetting someone. And I was like, it's not Trippier, because Trippier don't play for you guys anymore and stuff like that, right? And then it dawned on me about Winks. But then I thought, the reason why I forgot is to your very point. He's not even in the convo. Do you know what I mean? And Ali's only in the convo because I think...
He's a name.
Well, not even just that he's a name. I think he's in the convo because I felt like if he did a Jesse Lingard and went somewhere else, I think Southgate would pick him. Do you know what I mean? If he went somewhere, I think he could put in a performance for somewhere else where he's not under the Mourinho like microscope. But I just genuinely think, especially with some of the guys that they called up, like Ward, Proust and Bellingham and stuff, I think Winks is so far from the convo, Ollie. Like, I didn't think Winks was good even when he was playing. So the fact that he's not playing, it's almost like a double whammy of shitness. You know what I mean?
What, Danny Rose far from the convo?
No, Danny Rose is not in the convo. If I was Danny Rose, I'd be looking at loopholes to see if I could get into the Jamaica squad for the World Cup. Like, he's that far away. And like, I can't lie. Like, obviously that Spurs doc was funny, but I feel like the Spurs doc... If you ask me for the biggest losers of the Spurs, doc, Danny Rose would be high up, Joey, because he just sounded whiny. Like,
yeah, but they stitched him up. Didn't they
did. They did. 100%. 100%
because all the other guys in that dock, they basically made sure that nothing came out that they didn't want to come out. But with Danny Rose, they thought, we'll tuck you up.
They definitely tucked him up. But what I'd also say is that Winx bit where Red Jose came in and he went, oh, I hear he like does loads of tactics.
That was the best bit.
I feel like even subconsciously, whether they were trying to tuck him up or not, for me, he was tucked up and put to bed after that, right? It was a shot at Pochettino and himself in equal fashion. so he discounted himself from that because, oh, that wasn't acting. That was genuine concern there, right? He was like, oh, fuck, I'm going to have to walk at a tactics board. Do you know what I mean? So I was like, he's done out here. He's done.
It's probably a conversation for another pod, but the distance that some of the English Spurs players have fallen from the tree,
yeah.
It's incredible. When you think that all of these guys, right, these guys were mainstays of the England squad, mainstay, not just the squad, the team. Yeah. And there's all this talk about, you know, Tottenham, you know, they provide the nucleus of England squad on England's team. But you look at Rose, Winx, Ali, you know, the only ones who got away with it is Harry Kane, who is obviously a different kind of player.
Yeah.
And the players who left Spurs.
Yeah. All fair.
So Trippier and Walker have got away with it because they left.
To be fair, Dyer's still lingering. He's still got a chance of going. You know what I mean? Dyer's still
lingering. He's got a chance, but seriously, no one believes in him. No one really believes. And he only had a chance when he was playing. He's not playing anymore, is he? He's not in the team.
The funny thing is, the fact that Dyer is in the convo is why England won't win. Because it shows how thin it is in
all
a
right,
centre-back
all right, position. Let's go for it. All right, so keepers, first of all. I'm assuming we all agree on the same three keepers. Pickford, Pope, Henderson. Any dissenting voices on those three?
I actually went different.
Okay.
So I went Pickford, Pope, and Johnston. I think Johnston's in good form. I'm not if you asked me this time last year, I would have went Henderson, but seeing him in a few games, I'm not sure. And I don't think the third choice plays anyway. Nick Pope would be my first choice. So Johnston for me, because he's I always like to give at least some younger players, some kind of tournament, kind of squad experience. And I'm not sure about Henderson. So I'll go Johnston.
You know what? I actually think that if Henderson finishes the season in goal for United, which I think is a possibility, mm-hmm. I think he might start for England.
You think he'll start?
Yeah.
I don't think he's been good.
You know what? I thought that this was going to be a smooth sailing pod, right? But now the way G just articulated the goalkeepers, I can't fathom where he's coming from. Let me tell you 2 points why I'm so annoyed already, G, right?
Don't get upset.
No, I'm annoyed.
I'm not going to lie. It's a bit of hating talking there, G.
It's serious.
First of all, Johnston is 28. He is not fucking young, G. You've gone for Henderson because it's bias, right? And let's be clear, right? You've just made up Joe Johnston's story to back your own corner. Because you've got no idea how old he is, right?
I thought Johnston was young.
You know why you thought he was young? Because you just didn't want to pick Henderson. You didn't give a shit how old he was, right?
I liked Henderson. I thought Henderson might come Chelsea last year. But I think he's been poor when he's played.
Gee, out of like 8 games he's played, he's had 6 clean sheets. This is not someone that's played... Like, against Milan...
You think he's played well? You think he's playing well, honestly?
I think he is playing well above what is needed to get into this squad. It's very simple. It's very, very simple.
And to Marvin's point, let's be honest, all the keepers in the mix, it's much shit, of a
much. The shit. But let me tell you, I picked Pickford, but Pickford goes as my number three. But Johnston, this narrative of this young, upcoming guy is not the one, right? And let me be clear, I was very close to picking Ben Foster as my number three, right? Like, very close.
Oh, wow.
And
that shows how shit it is. But for me, to George's point, If Henderson keeps De Gea out, which is 50-50, I'm picking him. And for anyone that thinks Pope's flawless, you need to go back to that Aubameyang goal that he scored recently where he was suspect. And let's just agree they're all shit. But my three were Henderson, Pope, Pickford. That was the three.
I think Pope is the most has been the most consistent. And that's why I'd go with him.
I mean, Ollie, I was hoping we could just like literally spend a minute on this and a minute. I don't think it's gonna be any, because for me it's much of a match between all three of them. So but cool. I think Marvin's called you out there, G. And I'm actually with Marvin on this one. I think you're just,
G, let me tell you, if you're just gonna hate all the way through this, then we're not gonna go through this. Because let me tell you, I picked my squad trying not to hate. But I can just make moves right now. All right, if that's right, the way you're
right,
gonna
all
go.
Right, all right, all right. Let's go for it. So fullbacks. I've got five fullbacks.
Right and left, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Fine.
So I've got Shaw.
Five. Wow.
Right and left.
Yeah, right and left. Yeah, I've got five.
But there's a caveat. So I've got Shaw and Chilwell, and I've got James, Trent Alexander-Arnold, and I've got Aaron Wan-Bissaka, but I've got him as a centre-back.
What?
I've got him as a centre-back.
What?
Right. Just started off great, hasn't it?
So the reason why I've got him as a centre-back...
Put the kettle on.
Let me tell you why. I don't think there's any decent... Beyond John Stones, there's no centre-back for me that makes me think it's you know, this guy's got to play. It'll be Harry Maguire, but whatever. If the option of paying three at the back, and by the way, I hate three at the back, is there... I would have Aaron Wan-Bissaka as my right-sided of a three.
Ahead of Walker?
I would.
But has he ever played well there, though, George?
Has he ever played there?
Maybe not, but I still think defensively one-on-one, he's better than all of those defenders and centre-backs.
But has he ever played there, George?
Let's be clear. I'm a big Wan-Bissaka fan, right? And I couldn't fit him in, right? So I love what's going on here, because on one hand, G's going mega bias. On the other hand, George is slinging Man United players in right, left, and center. Like, I'm loving it. I mean, I picked exactly your same left back, right? In Shaw and Chilwell, because I think that's all there is. And then I picked Trent. I picked Trippier, because Trippier, if push comes to shove, he can play left back, right? And I picked Walker because Walker's actually played right-hand side of centre-back. Plus, I need to dash in a little bit of experience. Although I don't really like Kyle Walker. I think he's a complete idiot. And that's where it is. I didn't pick Reece James because, you know, at the end of the day, sometimes Tuchel's leaving him out for Azpilicueta. So we don't rate him that highly, right?
I'm totally with you, Marv. If I'm picking a squad, that would be my five.
G will bang on about Reece James, but he's had some suspect times as well, right?
So hang on Reece James and Alexander-Arnold, because there's a lot of people that are saying, I actually think Trent Alexander-Arnold won't go. I don't think
at all.
Wow. Yeah,
I don't think he'll go. Okay. And I think this squad that he's picked for these three games, I think is quite telling. But I would pick him if I was in charge. Reece James, I think, starts. I think he starts.
You know what? I
wouldn't say anything because I'll be called hating, but
no, G, speak your mind. This is a Chelsea man. Like, speak your mind. What I couldn't take was that Johnston being young bullshit that you were trying to push. But
I'm never going to live that one down, am I? But
what I'll say is, I'm with you, like, I think he left Trent out for the right reasons if you're going to pick on form, right? And I think Trent is just him and Robertson are a product of just a shit Liverpool back line, which is probably brought on by Van Dijk being injured. But Marv, sorry to interrupt,
I said this in our WhatsApp group. He's left out Trent on form, but he's put Dyer in the squad.
Yeah, but Dyer
is just shit. He's not even. Dyer's just shit.
But Ollie,
is he even in the squad?
But Ollie, whilst you're right, I think there's this thing about people got to pick on form. I think the whole form debate for international football is a little bit different. Trent has had a really bad season. He's not on form, but he's still for me an asset to any team. Whereas Dyer is even on form, he's not an asset to anybody. So you can't really compare. Dyer, and it's not really a kind of, it's a little bit of a, it's not a fair comparison Do you know what I mean? Dyer doesn't offer anything. He's got to be a phenomenal to get picked. Whereas even an off-form Trent Alexander-Arnold has something to offer.
Yeah, but yeah. But Joel, that's a big statement. And listen, we don't know what goes on behind the scenes. Something might be going on with Trent, and he and Southgate might be made aware of it, and he's just decided, listen, I'm gonna leave you out for this squad. Yeah, it's probably best to leave you out. We don't know what's going on. Yeah, but it's a form issue or it's a personal issue. Whatever it's going on with Trent, yeah, his form's fallen off the cliff. Dyer's just shit. Yeah. So what I'm saying is, Dyer shouldn't be anywhere near the England squad because he's shit. But you know, my point is that you, unless there's some personal thing going on with Trent, he could still put Trent in the squad and say, "Listen, I'm having you in the squad just to have a just to keep you close." Yeah, but you're not going to play. You know what I mean? You're just in the squad. Dyer's not going to play. Dyer's crap.
Jude, I'm not one to tell you how to do your job, but I feel like as this pod progresses, I was going to give you a lot of sound bites on Dyer for the headline title of this podcast, right? And no one disagrees with Ollie, but obviously he feels more passionately because he's a Spurs fan, right? I mean, the only point I would make is when I, like, first of all, I'll say that actually picking a 23 is very difficult and it will get harder as we go through the positions, right? The other thing I'll say is I agree with Ollie, Dyer is shit and Trent's having a bad season, but Trent's having a bad season because Liverpool are having a bad season, right? And I can't neglect his ability at crossing and from the dead ball positions.
That's why I was still taking him.
So that's why I'm taking him, because I don't think Walker or Trippier, who I have taken, are fantastic from dead ball positions. Although Trippier can hit a ball, let's have it right, yeah. But I agree with Ollie. I don't feel like there's a personal issue, but I felt like Southgate, being the wanker he is, wanted a bit of a headline. Look at me, I can still make the tough decisions. And Trent was the collateral damage this time round, right? Because you know, Walker, Trippier, and Reece James, the three that he did pick, could all be on the plane, right?
I think what's interesting is that if he's left him out for this squad for these round of games, he's not going to get a run of form between now and the end of the season to make him just think, oh, I've had a decent end to the season. So I don't think he goes to the Euros full stop.
Why? Liverpool, I'm not saying they will. Liverpool could win the Champions League, George, for you.
They could.
If they ran to the Champions League,
But here's the thing, Ollie. I think Southgate's looked at it and thought to himself, that's the one area of the pitch where I've got a lot of strength in depth.
True.
So I can afford to leave Trent out. Even if he has a good end to the season, I can afford to leave him out and it still not hurt me that much. Whereas other parts of the pitch, if you're having a poor season, he has to still pick you, i.e. centre midfield, we get to in a minute. Whereas a right back, he can leave, the best right back out and still be strong?
Yeah.
Maybe. You know what I mean? So,
The thing is, it all depends on how England want to play come the summer.
Yeah.
If they want to play on the front foot, if they're able to play on the front foot, then you've got to have Trent.
But if they're
looking to play a more, you know, a more defensive game and be a bit more, you know, and be a bit more compact, then maybe Trent ain't your guy. Especially a Trent who's not playing very well.
Systems and tactics, I want to get to that in a bit.
But Jordan, let's be clear, right? Wan-Bissaka as a right centre-back, you've just gone wild there. You've gone wild.
All right. Maybe I have. All right, let's go centre-backs. I've gone Maguire, Wan-Bissaka, Stones and Mings. G, what are you saying?
I went Maguire, Stones, Mings, and I feel like you have to have a fourth one. So I was actually Kyle Walker rather than Wan-Bissaka, kind of in your view.
Okay, Marv.
So let me tell you, I think Mings is shit.
I think so too.
I just want to be very clear about that.
I tried to get Tarkowski and I tried to find someone else just to not pick Mings, but I couldn't think of anybody else.
Not Michael King.
No.
So I picked Keane. I picked Maguire, Keane, and Stones. And that was it.
It's all much of a match this though, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. But Mings, you're struggling.
Mings, I really just think he's nicking a living. I don't know. I don't see why how he's getting.
he gets in. He's got a left foot.
And that's what I was gonna say.
If they play the three, then he's
that's why I put
him in. He's the one who will go in there. So, you know, I'm kind of, I you know, whoever said it was kind of, I think it was G. I'm with G, really. I think it would be Walker. Because I think, I actually think I would take Walker as your extra centre back and then have Maguire and Stones and Mings. But the thing is, I want to have less defenders so you can have more attacking players rather than have four centre backs. You've got to have basically give yourself a chance to have more forwards, really.
Yeah, and obviously, I know we'll get onto it, but I've taken Saka, who can play left back, right?
Well, let's go back to that, because I didn't put Saka in my entire squad, and the rationale was that...
I'm okay with it.
I know you are. Like, let's be clear. I was thinking, if Saka goes, he would be primarily going as a backup to Chilwell or Shaw. And then I thought, where else on the pitch does Saka play? Because where he's strong, for me, there's better.
But you don't know how it's going to go. So what you want is someone that's dual purpose. And actually, I think that's part of the reason why Dyer is anywhere part of this conversation, because I think Southgate thinks he can play as a DM. Now, let's be clear, before you shoot me up my legs here. Right? Let's be clear. DM, centre-back, wherever Southgate wants to play him, he is shit, right? I want to be very clear on that. I don't want you to cut me up my legs here, but that's where we are.
All right, let's go midfield. I've got four midfielders. I've got Rice, Mount, Henderson, and I'm going my wild card. I'm going Bellingham.
Wow. Yeah, I picked Bellingham.
Based on what?
Slim pickings, and wait for it. Gamble on someone that's a prospect than someone that's established and crap.
Wait for it. Not only have I picked Bellingham, but I've left Henderson at home.
Wow!
Right?
Yeah. Do we think Henson's going to be fit?
Well, that's my issue. His fitness record this season is atrocious, right? And I feel like if it was anyone else but Henderson and maybe Harry Kane, Southgate would leave him out because he would say he hasn't proved fitness and form, right? And if Southgate's going to be a wanker about Trent. Even when Henderson has been in the team, and fair enough, they've had to play him at centre-back and this, he's been shit too. So I've picked Bellingham. And the thing is, right, I've been watching Dortmund because I've got designs on Haaland and Sancho, like United are ever going to be able to get either of those deals done. Man, one can dream, right? And Bellingham not only has he played the majority of the games that I've watched, but he's neat and tidy and he's young and he's starting and he's been the only guy to go, fuck this England shit. I'm going to go abroad and get some real experience. I think the game he did play, I think he played really well. I'm picking Bellingham and I'm leaving Henderson at home. And it's not just because he's Liverpool and I hate Liverpool, but he is not fit. He's right, simply not fit.
So G, who are your midfielders? And then I want to talk about Henderson and whether he's worthy of being picked or not.
Yeah, so I went Mount, Phillips, Henderson and Rice.
Oh, you've picked Phillips because you're just buying into the Leeds hype. Let me tell you, Phillips is a DM and Leeds are shit defensively, right? And like, let's be clear, it's all hype. It's all hype and picking the new spice from going up, right? Like, he's done nothing to even correlate to him being in the team, right?
I think if you're playing a 4-2-3-1, which England tend to play, you need at least three strong ish DMs. I'm not saying he's strong, but I think he's the third strongest at the moment, especially if Henderson is going to be.
G, was Henderson in your selection of midfielders?
Henderson was in my selection as well.
I'll take your point, Marvin, about his fitness has been awful and he might not make it for the Euros anyway. But the reason why I would take him, and if he's even 80% fit, I would play him, because I still think that in those games, you still need someone with a bit of presence. Henderson is known, and like it or not, I think amongst opposition, respected. Premier League winning captain, Champions League winning captain. You scrunch your face up, but I think he is. And you go against Italy, Belgium, and you've got Mount and Rice. I don't know if that holds the same kind of weight as if at least got someone in there that's like, okay, this guy's lifted big trophies.
Let me tell you, yeah. In a tournament, right, especially at the position we're talking about, I just think respect is overrated, right? What can you do in this tournament, right? And let's be clear, let's not make this big deal like England have mashed up plenty tournaments, right? The last tournament where the world got the country got behind them in the World Cup, they beat everyone they should have beaten. And the minute it got tough, they lost, right? They just had a cruise, right? They had a Man City type run to the final on there, right? Henderson, for me, fully fit, I'm taking him, right? No question, right? But partially fit in a tournament that's all sort of compacted by the fact that, you know, COVID and, you know, seasons, like people are playing an exorbitant amount of games, right? I'm not taking him. I'm not taking him. I'm not taking Phillips. Declan Rice, who I didn't rate at the beginning of the season, he's probably my first player on the team sheet from a DM perspective. So that's me showing that I'm not biased, because I thought he was, like, some of the money and the transfer fees that were banding about, I thought were ridiculous at the time. But for me, beyond anything, beyond form, beyond anything, for a tournament where it's literally a game every 3-4 days, you've got to be fit. And you've got to show me you're fit consistently. Okay, and I think Henderson, at best, to your point, they're taking a partially fit player on the tournament just because he's experienced and he's lifted cups. That, like, I give a shit about who's lifted cups.
Is that the vice-captain as well, though? I mean...
Oh, well, hold the phone, geez. Vice-captain. Didn't throw everything out the window. I don't even think Harry Kane should be captain. Did you hear his morale-boosting team talks for Spurs, G?
Southgate, will managers pick based on that?
I don't think they're going to go. But beyond that, G, fitness is still king. If you might as well pick 22 players if you're picking a man that's half ready. Like, simple as that. Now, let's be clear. George is saying, Trent, there's not enough games. I think there's still 10 games. There's probably, for the team still in cups, there's probably still 15 games to prove your fitness, right? And I think of those 15, if Liverpool have a run in the Champions League, Trent probably plays all 15. Whereas Henderson might play between 4 and 5 before the end of the season. That's not enough for me. I don't care. And I'm not going to lie, Liverpool doesn't help his case for me, right? But fuck him.
Marvin, you're totally right. Because I've always said, I'm being a hypocrite, I've always said, actually, that it annoys me when England managers take players based on reputation over actual fitness. You're right. Fitness is really, really important.
Yeah.
Someone that can play once every three games and perform, even if they're slightly inferior in terms of talent and ability, probably is paramount. So you're probably right. I'll probably put asterisks by his name, unless he's 100% fit, which I don't
think. And George, do you remember when it was like Rooney and he broke his metatarsal and it was like a race and stuff? Like, just leave him at home. The man's broken his toe.
Well, I want to get stuck on there as well. So,
but the thing is, it's like, you know, with Henderson, you can talk about you know, injuries or whatever, but surely experiences mean something at that level.
I think so.
You've got to look at it. You can talk about Declan Rice. This guy has not played any, he's not played any games in European football, none at all.
Ollie, I'm looking through the midfield and front line, and the most experienced person of all of them is Henderson. Take him out.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Rashford, Sterling. Yeah.
I mean, seriously, if people are seriously saying that England can go to this tournament and do anything, and you're going to have in the centre of your midfield, Calvin Phillips. I'm not saying anyone said that here, but you're going to have Calvin Phillips.
Adam in the squad.
Calvin Phillips and Declan Rice. Neither of them have played European football of any standard. Yeah, they're going to go to a tournament. And you're going to be able to hold your own against the top teams in Europe. It's not happening. I'm sorry.
Can I ask you?
Well, Henderson is, whatever you might think about Henderson, Henderson has at least played at the top level. He's won the Champions League. He knows what it takes in big games against top players. He knows, he's got experience. That experience means something.
But why does it? Why?
Does it mean something?
Look, let me tell you, look, Lampard, Terry, Rio, they all won the Champions League. They all played at the top level. They all won fuck all for England. For me, experience is just overrated. Like,
Let's be clear
and say they're not going to win it. So I'm thinking, let's bond these youngsters who are young, but playing week in, week out for their teams at different levels. Like West Ham, you know how I feel about West Ham. Like, they ain't gonna, you know, they might get Europe this year, but they haven't had it, right? Let's bond them. Let them get this experience and grow together. Let's not go on this experiencing, because I only kind of picked Kyle Walker partly because of experience, and I'm even regretting that, right? But he can play right side of the centre-back trio, right? But for me, I don't think you can penalize them because they don't have experience. The only way they get experience is twofold. Either Rice has got to go to a bigger club, which he might do, right? And it's going to cost loads of cash. And you take them on these tournaments and they get the experience real deal. Like for me, this Champions League narrative, they've won it and stuff, and they know what it takes. I don't think personally, I don't think the Champions League is reflective of what you see in tournament football when people go away for 6 weeks on a tournament. I don't think it's the same, right? And plus, I just feel like, let's have it right. Like, tournaments are them in the hotel playing PlayStation all day and then them going out and playing on the pitch and listening to what the manager said. I just think we get caught up in this narrative of, oh, they've played Champions League so they know what they're doing. And there is history in English football time and time again of big English players that have won it, and when they go to England, it doesn't happen, right? And Henderson's been part of a couple of squads now.
You've still got to have some leaders in your pack.
I think so.
Marvin, you can't just go there with a load of kids in it. You've got to have some leaders in there.
Rice is not a leader, right? He's captaining West Ham.
Come on, Marv.
You're pushing it, Marvin, there.
Come on.
So let me ask you, Marvin. If Henderson is 80% fit, do you...
No, 100 or nothing. 100 or nothing. Simple.
I take the fact that he needs to be fit. There's no point in him going if he's half fit. But if he is fit, he has to go. Simple as that. He has to go.
I think the point I'm trying to make is, based on everything I've read and everything I've seen, I don't think he's fit.
All right. Let's move forward. Let's get to the attackers now. I've got Sancho, Sterling, Rashford, Grealish, Foden. Marv, you go.
Oh, can you say that again? Say it again, yours.
Sancho, Sterling, Rashford, Grealish, Foden. And I've only got three strikers, which I'll get to next. So I've got three strikers, obviously one of which is Kane. And I've got one, two, three, four, five attackers.
So I've got everyone you've got, but I've only taken two strikers. And I've mixed it up a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah?
I've gone Grealish, Mount, Foden, Sterling, Sancho.
Okay.
Who have you left?
I put Rashford as one of my strikers.
Yeah, me too.
Okay.
Yeah, so who I've left out is...
Madison.
No, Sancho was in there. Madison I've left out, yeah.
Yeah, he's not in minors either. All right, well, up top then, I've got Kane, Watkins, Ings.
Watkins?
Oh, my God. Let me tell you why. Let me tell you why.
Dude, let me be clear. Before you tell us why, I want you to know there's nothing you can say here. This is a grade A Jordan play of just complete
I like a gamble. I like a flutter, okay?
So hold on, you've taken Watkins over Calvert-Lewin?
Yes, and let me tell you why.
Can I just say who it was? Kane, who?
Ings and Watkins.
Wow. Go on, tell us why.
So the reason why I've taken Watkins is, one, is I like a gamble. So I'm that kind of guy that just, there's a narrative there, but also
like a gamble, don't know the odds though.
I want someone, and I've got Rashford in my attacking lineup, so Rashford's there, but I don't think I wouldn't play him through the middle. I like a guy with some pace that can go in beyond, because Kane ain't gonna be the person that's gonna be breaking lines. So I've got Watkins as an option, as someone that I think is direct, has pace, and is a bit of a wild card. Granted, it's a wild card, but Calvert-Lewin is too similar to me to Harry. He's a poor man's Harry Kane. He's a target man that's going to get headers in. So I don't see any point in playing Calvert-Lewin if you've got Harry Kane. I want something different. And I've got Ings in my squad as well, because I just think Ings is the finisher. I think if you want someone that's going to finish in and around the box, Ings is the guy for me.
So hasn't Ings got pace, though? Who can play do that role, running in behind?
He can.
I'm Rashford as well.
But I wouldn't play Rashford for the middle. Rashford wouldn't be one of
there's a couple of things, right? I think you're spot on, and I'm taking Calvin Lewin as my Kane backup, right?
Yeah, I am too.
But everything you said is kind of what I've got the two wide forwards for, right? So Rashford, Sterling, Sancho, Grealish, they can all run in behind. I just don't think you need Watkins in the squad. So and actually,
Harry Kane gets injured on the first day of the tournament.
Calvert-Lewin plays every game. Calvert-Lewin. Yeah, every game. No, not for me. And let me tell you. Let me tell you the worst thing about
to get you goals in a Euros. I like Calvert-Lewin. You know that he ain't winning you a Euros.
But it's Watkins is not doing that.
What? We don't know, but we know Calvert-Lewin ain't going to score the six.
Oh my God! But George,
Calvert-Lewin is a guy you're putting your trust in for a tournament.
But George, let me be clear.
Watkins, yes,
George, you're missing what we're saying here, right?
This is a serious reach here, George.
I understand what you're saying, but there is absolutely nothing. I'm not even sure Watkins has the pace you think he has, right? Let's be clear on that, right? No, there's absolutely nothing that you're saying that picks Watkins over Calvert-Lewin. Premier League goals, Calvert-Lewin scored more, right? Even in the England games, Calvert-Lewin scored every game that he's played, right? Calvert-Lewin is in the form of his life, and Watkins misses chances for fun for Villa, right? For fun. Grealish would have about 10 more assists if it wasn't for Watkins, right?
I've accepted he's a wild card.
Let me tell you, Ings has just a checkered injury record as Henderson does this season. He's fit now, but let me tell you, he's a liability.
But hang on. I'm talking. So I'm playing 4-3-3. So I'm thinking of alternatives to Kane. Kane's starting every game.
For me,
it's a case of if Kane gets injured on the first day of the tournament,
which is possible, which is why
you've got to take Calvert-Lewin because there's every chance that Kane could get injured. Every chance.
Yeah. And let me be clear.
I don't think it's a wild shout to take Calvert-Lewin. I'm not like angry with it. I'm taking a wild card.
That's fine. This is you all over. You just want headlines. You don't care. You just want headlines.
I like him.
Let me be clear.
A bit harsh on him.
Let me be clear. I'm not taking Ings or Watkins. And I'm going to go Kane as my number nine, Calvert-Lewin as my backup. And if shit hits the fan, I'll put Rashford in there. Like, I'm not going to, like, that would really take some bad luck for two injuries, right?
So you're taking two strikers as strikers?
I'm taking two strikers as strikers with the fact that I think Rashford can step in if needed.
Sure. G, you the same. Two strikers as strikers.
Two strikers, exactly. I think there's enough around the squad. And if I was to pick someone, it would be Ings. It wouldn't be Watkins. Hey, I'd even put Tammy over Watkins.
I'm
pushing it. Like, I'd rather just pick 22 than Tammy or Watkins, to be honest. Right, let's just get 22 of you on the plane. The funny thing is, Jordan, let me be clear, and I didn't call it out because you guys got away from me, right? But my wild card that we didn't cover, right, because I've taken three centre backs, is actually Ward-Prowse.
I want to get to him next. I've got some names here: Ward-Prowse, Cody, Trippier, Madison, Walker, Keane, Ox, Saka, Calvert-Lewin,
Ox!
Phillips.
Why is Ox in there?
Squad. No, these people didn't make my squad.
But why is he even mentioned? And how come you haven't mentioned Dyer if you're not mentioning Ox? Have you taken Dyer with you?
I mean,
I'm just speaking for Ole.
Dyer's not even on my.
He's not even on your nearly list.
Yeah, he's not even rejecting it. But Ward-Prowse is an interesting one because I'm only taking Ward-Prowse on the premise that he takes a good free kick because I don't think he starts any games.
And a good corner.
And a good set pieces. But
yeah, you know what?
But are his set pieces good enough alone to justify him being on the plane?
Possibly, because when you think about England scored most of their goals from set pieces.
Right.
So he is important. That is important.
Does he start, Ollie? Because to take his corner, he's got to start the game.
But Jordan, not everyone's going to start, is it? That's why we've put three goalkeepers. You've got options.
No, but you don't bring on Ward-Prowse on the 80th minute because he's taking corners.
Let me tell you what. It's going to be a group stage of three games, right? Three games in the group stage as the Euros change, right? So three games. If England won the first two and they're in, I'd pick Ward-Prowse for the third game, depending on who it is. Like, absolutely. And what I'd also say to Ollie, like, let me tell you, actually, I had fun picking this 23 because I gave thought and consideration for this, right?
Thank you.
And let me tell you, from a set piece taker, I would go as far as to say he is the best in the Premier League. I'd agree. Yes. Like, let me tell you.
Better than De Bruyne. Yeah.
Oh, Englishman. Sorry.
Oh,
best
that's
English.
That's not hard, is it?
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, that's enough, right? Like, that's enough. If we're just, like, to O's point, if we're splitting hairs here, then let's go for a hair that's going to hit you top bins every time there's a free kick and around the edge of the D.
And also to Ollie's point as well, there's this thing after every tournament, English people talk about wanting to play now the Spanish way or the German way or the Italian way. And there's a snobbery around English people just sticking to their strengths. England and the last two Euros have done well at, sorry, the last Euros and World Cup, 96 and 18. They scored a lot of goals from set pieces.
100%. You remember that little England's... train they did on corners where Maguire and Stones and those England's guys would line up?
Are going away from their strengths. Don't be embarrassed to get it wide and get it in the box. That's but your strength.
The thing is about Ward-Prowse as well, right, is fully fit, plays every game for Southampton, came through the under-21s. Even when Gareth's obviously picked him for the last couple of games, he's been solid. And I really like him. I don't think he's ever going to, like, make one of the top six sides, although Ollie's team might pay some money for him. I don't know, right? But
I'd have him over Harry Winks. I know that
I mean,
much.
Come on. Who would you know,
have me over Harry Winks?
But, so, yeah, so I've picked him. And I think you know, don't knock the what he gives you from a just as a player, but
sorry,
also Marv, from a corner.
Sorry, Marv, are you saying he's in your squad?
Yeah, yeah, I picked him. That's the whole thing. I picked him in my 23.
Where? Who instead of who? You've not mentioned him.
I've left Henderson at home, haven't I? So I've got an extra spot.
Of course.
Read.
Go on.
So no one like calls me like a faker and like picking 24 on the sly. I'm just gonna read out my 23, right? So I've got Pope, Henderson, Pickford, Maguire, Keane, Stones, Alexander Arnold, Trippier, Walker, Shaw, Chilwell, Saka, Bellingham, Rice, Ward-Prowse, Mount, Foden, Grealish, Sterling, Sancho, Kane, Rashford, and Calvert-Lewin. That's my 23. And let me tell you, I even wrote, because I thought George would quiz me, a list of nearlies, and even on my nearly, Watkins ain't there. Right? even on my nearly, he ain't there. Right?
Marv's got no love for the Villa man.
I pretty much agree with that squad. But I'd like
you pick Henderson for Ward-Prowse.
I would throw Henderson in there. I would throw Henderson in there, definitely. But also, I'd actually ask the question, and I know Marvin from what you said earlier won't agree with this, but I'd ask the question, is Sancho such a given that he has to be in the squad? I still don't get it with Sancho. I watch Sancho and I just think, yeah, and what? So what? What do you do? What's so important about you? Why should you definitely be in there? I don't see it.
It's his club form. His club form is what is really.
Yeah, but I don't really care about the Bundesliga.
Yeah. Well,
are impressive, to be fair.
Me put it into perspective, right? In terms of the players that I named in my team, right? The only goalkeepers aside, because Henderson is a question mark, the only two players that aren't guaranteed a start for their club in the squad I picked was Keane, because now and again they play Mina and someone else and Holgate, right? He hasn't played every game, but he's played most. And the other one was Walker, and that's just because Cancelo's lighting shit up, right? Everyone else, the one of the prerequisites, and Foden's in and out, but you know, City rotate attackers like it's nothing.
Your own point there, Marvin.
One of the things I'm saying is, and Sancho fitting into this category is, I wanted my players to start and like be mainstays for their teams, right? And I think Sancho, I think it's been so hard for him. And what I'll say, hand on heart, I think United effed this shit up this season, right? That distraction, it took him a while to get going. But if you look at Dortmund now, last 4 to 5 months, him and Haaland have been the two that's tearing shit up, right? And I'm picking him, 100%, 100%.
Dortmund sort of flatter to deceive, though, don't they? I mean, they're not I was messing about a minute ago. I do quite like the Bundesliga, but seriously though, Dortmund are so far behind Bayern, and they lose ridiculous matches.
They do.
Well.
I've lost a lot of money on them.
It's got to the point where I've when I say I'd, I'd you know, I've had enough of the Bundesliga. I've actually had enough of getting it. I've had enough of Bayern. So many of those seasons where I watch it and I think, yeah, Dortmund might win it this season, or maybe it'd be Munchen Blackburn, and then Bayern just come and win, and you just think, I'm not doing this anymore.
And if I'm not mistaken, Bayern aren't even playing that well on this.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's what I'm saying, Jordan. But you know, that's been the case for the last two or three seasons where Bayern don't actually play that well, and then they just come through at the end, and you're just like, how did that happen? A couple of seasons ago, Dortmund were like 9 points clear, weren't they? A couple of seasons ago.
Yeah.
And Dortmund just threw it away.
But Oz, when you can just cherry pick the best players from the other German clubs, you're gonna always have an advantage, right? Very few, like whoever Dortmund want, and that Upamecano guy from Leipzig is a good example. It's almost like a strategy that will allow them to continue to dominate, right?
Anyway, let's move on from Bundesliga.
It's not so much the Bundesliga; it's more about Sancho. And I've still watched Sancho.
So you're not picking him. You're not taking him with you.
I'm questioning whether he's a given, because I would say to you, I would say yes. I like Saka, because Saka is versatile. So yeah. Saka, you could play.
But I'm not starting Sancho though.
Well, that's the point. I just see him as
one of
those. I'm not
starting Saka though either.
I'm saying he's one of the. Yeah, but Saka's got versatility. I'm saying to you that I'm looking at someone like Sancho and thinking, you're not playing. You're not going to play unless I get injuries to Rashford and Sterling. I'm not playing you. And I'm just thinking, you're just another you're another seat on the plane when I could give it to someone else. I would rather see, for instance, the three strikers. I would have the three strikers. So you've got options there. You've got.
So who's your third striker?
I would take Ings, like Jordan said. I would say that Ings gives you something, as long as he's fit, obviously. But he gives you something else. He gives you that he's a bit like Vardy. He can run in behind. He's got pace. He's a nuisance. He gives you something different from what Calvert-Lewin gives you. But Calvert-Lewin is your number one backup for Kane. So you take the three strikers, but then you've also got Rashford, Sterling. You know, you've got Saka as well, and so you've got all the attacking midfielders. So because don't forget, you've got all these players like Grealish. Grealish probably wants to play. If you're playing like Jordan says, Grealish probably wants to play on the left of the three up front, doesn't he?
Yeah.
You know, and Foden can play there as well. So do you actually need to take Sancho as well as all of those players? When you're taking all of those players and you've got like Grealish and all these people who I would say I would probably want to play Grealish before I played Sancho.
But let me tell you, I was closer to leaving Rashford out than I was Sancho. And the reason for that, again, comes purely down to fitness, right? Rashford is playing with an injury, which he said he's going to sort after the Euros. And let me tell you, as a man that watches, I haven't missed a Man United minute so far this season for my sins, right? I don't know what I'm doing with my life. What a waste of time most of those games are. True. But Rashford is playing very shit. And part of that is, I think the injury is really hurting him. And it's weird because people say it's only the shoulder. But obviously, every time he lands, when he goes up to headers and stuff like that, it affects his balance. He is not fully fit by any stretch of the imagination. Whereas Sancho is, so I would be taking him, I would take Sancho above Rashford. And this is me speaking, right? So it shows where I'm at. And I would say I agree with everything you said, but I think Foden, Mount, Grealish, they can all play pretty much in five positions, right? So you can rotate and do what you want. But I think Sancho's getting a tough rep, mainly because we turned his head in the summer. Right, and now he's got his head down. He's in very good form. He's probably in the last four months, he's probably done more assists than all the other players we're talking about. Right, and a lot of that's for Haaland, but Haaland's a freak of nature. Right,
let's move on to now. I want to just briefly go through you guys' 11s on day one. Everyone's fit in your squad. G, go first. Who's your 11?
Oh man, you caught me off guard. All right, cool. So I'm gonna go Pope. I'm gonna go.
What formation are you playing first of all?
I'm gonna play a 4-2-3-1.
Okay.
So I'm gonna go. I'm gonna go Alexander Arnold. Actually, I know you guys, don't believe in him, but for the reasons that you talked about, Ward-Prowse, like, you know, I'd argue that he might be the best on set pieces. So I'd go Alexander Arnold, and I think he'll come back to form as well. Centre backs, It's just it... so I go Maguire and Stones, but I'm very uninspired. And on the left side, I go Shaw because I think he's in better form. I know Marvel's waiting for me to say Chile, but I'm going to go Shaw because Shaw's in better form.
Who's your two?
The two holders, and I'm presuming this is a tough game as well, rather than because that would change it. So the two holders, I'd go Henderson if he's fit, and I'd also go Declan Rice. Then in front of that, I'd have a... In front of that, I'd probably go Grealish and have him kind of play as like the number 10-ish. I know he likes to play off the left, but play him in the middle. Then on the left-hand side... Oh, actually, you know what? Let me change that. Sorry. This is... You caught me off guard. I'll go Foden there. On the left-hand side, I'd go Grealish. On the right-hand side, I'd go Sterling. And up front, I'd go Kane.
Okay, so a couple of things with that one. You would play two defensive midfielders.
Yeah.
And it always interests me when people talk about two defensive midfielders in a team that has poor centre-backs. I know Stones is playing well, but let's see how he does when he's not next to Ruben Dias. Doesn't that kind of just play to your weaknesses even more?
No, bear in mind, I said if you're playing a good team. If you're playing a second-rate team, which probably most of the tournament will be, either maybe take out one of the DMs of maybe throw Mason Mount in, who can do like a number eight type of thing. But if it's a final against France, for instance, the two DMs, those, and then the having, you know, Grealish at number 10. Foden at number 10.
Another question was, you put Sterling on the right.
Yeah, I'd play Sterling on the right. Well, I mean, because the thing is, like, when you think of with wingers now, like, they're all interchangeable. So left, right, it doesn't really matter too much to me. I think Sterling can kind of cut inside and be effective in that. But I take your point. He's predominantly from the right, but I'm maybe accommodating Grealish because I think he's in better form.
Marvin, is your 11?
Right, hold on to your hat.
Let's keep this.
Hold on to your hats here. Henderson, number one, bang. Trippier is my right back, bang. Stones and Maguire and Shaw are my back four, bang. I'm doing 4-3-3. Defensive midfielders, overrated. Just have one strongholder. That one strongholder is Declan Rice. Alongside him in midfield, I'm going Foden and Mount. Kane up front. Sterling on the left. Grealish on the right. There's your uncle. Mic drop.
Okay.
No Rashford. I'm just processing. No Henderson. Fuck all of that. That's what I'm doing.
No Ward-Prowse?
No Ward-Prowse, but it was borderline between him and Mount, right? Like, let me be clear. My midfield is a bit too attacking with Rice, Mount and Foden.
Yeah.
But if you just say Rice hold, I think both Foden and Mount can link the play between defence and attack, right? Let me tell you, Mount, I'm so annoyed at myself that I've picked him. But I'm a realist. And for England and Chelsea under Tuchel, I've been impressed. So I'm picking him.
You see, you're proving Southgate's point because he's not really played that much better.
Let me tell you, that goal against Liverpool, he ain't scoring that under Lampard.
Oh,
number one.
Come on.
No, he wouldn't. Lampard will say, oh, Mason, just like... help Kante out. Do you know what I mean? That's what he's saying.
I started to think Lampard is a close number two to Southgate. Really, and manages to hit the most.
He's another one that should have got the job that he got. Let's put that. Let's have that right. But you can add Ole Gunnar Solskjaer to that list as well, G. and second of all, right, Mount's done all right for England. The games that I've seen him play, he's played really well. So that's what I'm going for, right? And I'm agonised on who's playing.
He's the only real proper centre midfielder in the squad.
Yeah, and then on the left-hand side, George, if you see when I scribbled it, like I crossed out plenty man, but Sterling is the guy there, right? Yeah, and I think Grealish can do it on the right-hand side. So that's what I did.
All right, I'll rattle through mine off the head as well. I'm going... I mean, the goalkeepers, I literally don't care.
George, if you just told us that we didn't have to care, we wouldn't have never have done this pod. I'm just assuming you weren't to feign care.
I'll stick with Pickford only because I do think there's something to be said about tournament experience. I think having been there and done it, Henderson, I think, could be a better goalkeeper. But when you're in the mix of it and the whole country's watching you, especially in a goalkeeping position, I think if you're new to that position at Euros, at home Euros, that pressure can break a man. So for England, he's been all right. So I'd go Pickford in goal. I'd go left back. I would go Shaw, just over Chili B, as G calls him.
I these guys are called. It's not me.
Whatever. Then, whatever.
And for the record, just for the sake of the pod, for me, it's not even close. Like, Shaw is a million miles ahead of Chili B or whatever you want to call him. A million miles.
It's not a million miles. Me,
a million miles.
I'm not going to argue with it. You know, you can have it. Rather than you want it.
I want it. I'm taking it. I want it.
My right back would be James. I think James has got the balance well of being able to defend really well. But I think going forward, he's not as good as Alexander-Arnold, but his delivery is really good. And yeah. I think Southgate will start him as well. So I'd go James at right back, Shaw, and then in centre backs, yeah, Maguire, Stones. 4-3-3 for me. Mount, Henderson, providing he's fit, and I'd put Grealish in midfield because I think he can carry the ball. I would put Grealish in midfield. Yeah, I'm just thinking about it as I'm talking about
these
it.
These midfields are going to get overrun, you know. They need some steam there.
Rice, Mount.
That's such an English thing to say, G.
It's true, Rice, though.
Do you know what I mean? No, at the end of the day, you look at the Spain we love. The only steal they had was Busquets. That was it. Everyone else that
played. They kept the ball.
Marv. Newsflash. England are not Spain.
No, but for me, it's like, fair enough. I can't remember how many teams are in the Euros, but let's have it right. Like, in theory, England should walk the groups, even I can't remember what the group is, but they should walk it even if they do play.
Well, what? Sorry, I'm not sure what you're basing that on, Marv. They're in a group with Croatia and Scotland, who you know Scotland are going to give everything to beat England. Yeah?
Oh, come on, man.
They should beat Scotland, but Croatia are not mugs.
I think Croatia are mugs in terms of what we're talking about right now. Wow. England versus Croatia,
wow.
Right?
Wow.
And let's be clear. I think
Czech Republic.
I still think they're going to play Modric and Rakitic as their main guys, even though I don't even know where Rakitic is at the moment. I think he's just at home playing golf, smoking a cigar, Gareth Bale's
playing at Sevilla.
Yeah, but he's not starting because I watched Sevilla the other day and he wasn't starting, so he might be injured. But even let me be clear, when we talk about Henderson being 80% fit, Rakitic and Modric could be 20% fit and they start. And that's where Croatia are right now, as far as I'm concerned. Czech Republic, I haven't seen them, admittedly, but I still think this England squad beats them, right? And I think what I'm trying to say is this whole steal narrative, and you're talking, you just said, one of you guys just said that Spain could keep the ball, hence why they only need Busquets. But the players that we're talking about for England under a good manager, which I appreciate England do not have, right? The likes of Foden and Grealish.
No, Marv.
They
no.
can keep the ball. Oh.
No, Marv.
No. Oh, they can.
No, Marv.
I'm
no.
telling you.
No.
I don't think they can. And plus, they're top sliders as well.
You're talking. Sorry, go on, G. Go on.
I was going to say they're all up the other end of the pitch. They all like to be at the top end. So you literally just have one guy back there themselves. So there'll be no options to hold the ball. I don't think they can. Not to a world class level.
Sorry, right, I can't get my head around, Marv. You're talking like you're 10 and you haven't watched any tournament football ever. How many times have we said this? How many times have we said, oh, England, they got players who could keep the ball. They all do it for their clubs. They should be able to do it at international level. They can't do it, Marv. How many times have you seen this happen? It happens all the time. Sorry, all right, Marv, just a couple of years. When was that? 2-3 years ago, the Nations League, the finals? What happened in those games, Marv? Remind me.
That was bad.
What are you saying to me? Because the players that I'm picking weren't in that equation.
It doesn't matter, Marv. I think you're
judging England on past shitness. And that's half of the reason why I've left Henderson at home. Because it's my squad and I'm trying to bring through a new breed here, Oz. And let me tell you, there isn't, out of everyone I've picked in my team, right? I personally, when I look at Foden and Grealish, I see in particular two players that don't give a shit and play without fear. Fear that has plagued the England squad for centuries. As long as I've been, you ask me like, how old are you, 10, right? Since I've been 10, these players have been riddled with fear. And for once, and let me be clear, oh, I want to be very clear, because you're the sort of person that will misquote me later. England ain't winning. They're not going to win. Regardless of who we pick, they are not winning. The fact that they have Southgate, they're not winning. But I will say with complete and utter confidence, right, that the players that I'm picking in these positions will surprise you if Southgate isn't a wanker. I'm telling you. And the thing about it is, particularly Foden, I'm looking at this guy. He's City. I hate City. You have got someone that constantly wants the ball, for England or not, who will play. Right, Kane is a bit of a mute point, right? He's just the tip of the spear.
I watched him under 21 level. He done nothing for me. I watched him and thought,
But what I'm saying to you, and like, let me be clear, right? I'm picking on growth and trajectory here, right? So I agree with you. I watched him on under 21s. Actually, I think
Foden.
Yeah, for under 21s, I think he's always been their best player when he's played for them, right? Him, surprisingly, with Ward-Prowse, FYI. And what I'd also say is, with Foden, yeah, I honestly can't see him not starting. He has been that good in the recent chunk of season that we're looking at. And on that trajectory, you just got to play him, right? Grealish is a bit different because he's been injured of late. So that's a bit of a 50-50. And nobody, even Southgate, is going to leave out Raheem Sterling, right? Like, he's probably one of the first three names on the team sheet, right? I honestly just think, I understand everything you're saying, but I go into every tournament with the amount of turnover that happens in 2 years from every tournament that rolls around, I'm going to give him a chance. Like, oh, let me be clear. My 11, do you know how many players I'm surprised at? At myself. I'm surprised at Rice. I'm surprised at Mount. I'm surprised at Foden. I'm surprised that I've picked Harry Maguire. I'm surprised I've picked Henderson, right? But all of these... No, Shaw's been the best left back in for England. No, maybe.
Well, basically, at the beginning of the season, you'd be surprised at Shaw.
No, I like Shaw all the time. All the time, I've liked him.
Let me be clear for you, Marv. As much as you're surprised now, you won't be surprised when you see him in the tournament. Right? It'll be the same old shit. It'll be the same old shit.
I just want to say, Ollie's suggesting that I think England are going to do something, and I've caveated it.
No, I'm not. What I'm saying to you is that you're going to see that exactly what you said earlier, which is the minute they play a top side, they're out. All right? They are out.
But to caveat that, Croatia and Czech Republic aren't those teams.
You're probably right. But if they do lose those games, I ain't going to be surprised. I'm not going to sit here and say, I'm not going to be the one sitting there saying, you know what? I thought they beat Croatia, you know? I'll be sitting there and saying, yeah, that's England. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, I will not be surprised, George.
So hang on. Let me finish my team in the middle. I want to get to why we think that so much. Not just based on history. So my midfield, I've changed it now. My midfield is Rice, Mount, Grealish, Henderson on the bench, front three, Kane through the middle, Sterling on the left, Foden on the right. Why, Ollie, do you think that? Is it just a case of the past is haunting these English players of just constantly being crap and underperforming? And to my question at the top of the pod, how do England win this Euros?
Sacks off and get someone else.
Is it the manager, no matter what squad they have, the manager doesn't have it in him to take England to a final? Or is it something bigger?
I think, you know what I said earlier about Marv and Southgate and Lampard, I think there are some parallels in there, in that they're both like great ex-players, good spokesmen, say what like the media and the crowd want to hear, but neither of them were elite tacticians. And I think Southgate will get caught out in this tournament for not being an elite tactician, as he was against Croatia, who pretty much, you know, played
you don't the think, you don't think he's learned, or he can learn from that? That was four years ago.
I haven't seen anything to suggest he's learned, and this is the problem with these qualifiers, so low profile against a load of crap teams, because it can look like you've learned, but then when you play against a top team, like you get knocked out. So I think, yeah, that if you said to me, what would be the one thing that could make England win the tournament, would be to get a higher class tactician in to replace Southgate.
I think that's harsh. Ollie?
So what, are you actually saying, are you on the Marv train where you're saying we've got the players, if only we had the manager? Are you on that train?
Is that my train? You put me on a train that I'm not sure I've asked to get on there.
You're on the train of this time more than any other time. It will be different.
No, that wasn't my train.
He didn't say that, Ollie.
Come on.
You're pretty much saying.
Let me tell you something.
There's a lot of trains here. It's like Waterloo.
Against my will, there's a lot of platforms.
G. There's a lot of platforms. Choose your platform.
We're in Clapham Junction right now. And let me be clear. Unlike Chelsea pushing black people off the plane to train, I feel like you're trying to push me on one. Right? Like I'm not on that train. Right? They're still going to choke.
To answer your question.
I'm not saying. We'll come back to you in a second, G. We're not saying that you're not saying they're going to choke, Marv. What you're saying is that these players, it will be different from... I said to you about 2018, about the Nations League, yeah? And you said to me, that's 2 years ago, these are different players. So I'm assuming that you're saying that these players are different. We've got better players
now. As soon as you say
now,
assuming, you know... You're putting words in my mouth. Let me be clear about that. And I can't remember. Help me out here, Ol, because the Nations League, for me, is... the international version of the Rumbelows, right? Like, that's what it is, right?
But those players, you can't tell me that...
You can't tell me
that Netherlands and Portugal weren't taking that seriously, because they were. They were. They absolutely
No, but what I'm
were.
Trying to say is, help me out memory-wise, who were England playing at that time? Because I don't know.
They played the Dutch, didn't they?
I'm saying who was the 11 that were picked?
Because
I've got a sneaky suspicion.
I can't remember.
You look at that 11 and you might have the likes of Jesse Lingard and Ali in there, which is very different.
So hang on.
Of ball retention, etc.
Back to G. So just with the train again. So what are you saying? Are you saying that if Pep Guardiola had this exact same squad, England against the final?
That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is England's the ability in England's squad exceeds the ability they have in management. I think if they had a top level manager, they could get more out of the players. Maybe.
So what's
this is going down the road of this is where we were all those years ago. What Marv talked about at the beginning. This is where we were with the golden generation. Oh, if only we had a top manager. So then they went and got a foreign manager in, and it didn't work. I'm not saying Ericsson was the best manager in the world, but still, they went and got a foreign, and then they got Fabio Capello, a born winner, it still didn't work.
A born winner,
so,
I remember that headline.
So, you know, these ideas that they get in a better manager and these players will suddenly come good. What if it's just the players? What if the players just aren't good enough?
I generally think Southgate is arguably, if you rank all the managers in the tournament, Southgate might be in the bottom three.
Wow, that's harsh. That is harsh.
Me that hates Southgate, it's harsh because I don't think G knows half the managers in the tournament. he's just decided Southgate shit. And G, I'm on that train. I'm with you. I'll even back past my Oyster through the barriers for you.
Here's my thoughts. I would like Southgate to just go into this Euros with just being very bloody minded. Now, he'll get criticised whatever happens. He'll leave out Madison, he'll leave out Lingard, he'll leave out players, and he'll get heat whatever happens. All I want to see from Southgate is just own it. This is my squad. Shut your mouth. I'm the boss. I've picked it. This is my system. This is my 11. Let's go. My fear is that he may cave into the people like Marvin and people on phone-ins and members of the press that say, oh, no, you got to play him. I don't know. It's got to be free at the back. And what I'm seeing from his qualifiers and his friendlies is chopping and changing, that he could spin it as I'm experimenting, giving people a chance. But really, I'm like, forget the chance. Forget all that. Decide on who your core eight of your 11 are and just refine that system. So when game one comes around, you know, the players know, and we know what the plan is. If you go out, you go out. But at least we can, on game one, understand what your system is. That is my thing. I think you lot are being really harsh on Southgate. He's no Pep Guardiola, granted. But I think that he just needs to show a little bit more balls in the sense of owning what he's doing. And not
have you seen anything from him tactically to suggest that he's good enough to win a tournament?
To win it, no. But he got to a semi-final in the World Cup.
Yeah, he got to semi-final because he like luck fell in his hand in terms of the draw.
But hang on, let's have it right, G. Getting to a semi-final for England, that's an achievement. That is an achievement.
I think
no one thought they were going to get that far. Exactly. Let's be honest.
So if England a semi-final team, worst case.
But they're not a semi-final team, though, George. They weren't semis. What? They get Nations Cup.
Yes.
Oh, come on, George. Come on.
As Ollie said, Portugal, Holland, those teams took it seriously. So what I'm saying is, I'm not saying that Southgate's the guy to win the Euros. What I'm saying is that if he can make England a semi-final team at worst, that for me is not a bad.
The other thing is, G, England aren't in a position where they should be looking at the Nations League and saying they're too good for this.
England won
nothing in our lifetimes. Yeah, if they go and win the Nations League, they should celebrate that because they are a nation who won nothing. Yeah?
Okay,
if it's good enough for the Portuguese, it's good enough for this lot.
But that's the thing. England should have been, for a better manager, they should have been in a position to win the Nations League.
Yeah, but that's the point, though, G. I don't actually think England were the best team in that. Portugal have got a good team. Funny enough, Portugal got a good team.
All I'm going to say, while you guys are talking, I'm just using this thing that you recommended I use over the Bell saga called the internet, right? And I'm looking at the teams that Southgate played in the Nations Cup. Nine times out of 10, he played either five at the back or like three in the middle and wing backs. Dyer played pretty much every game. Cody played the majority of games.
Yeah, but what about in the finals? Who did he play in the final? Who did he play against the Netherlands?
Let's have a look. Come back to me, George.
The thing, what I will say about this whole thing, George, you know, you asking me the question to begin with, I think England have got all these players who, again, we're in the same situation where everyone's basically saying, yeah, Grealish, what a great player he is. Did you see that backflick he did in that game, in that qualifier, whatever it was? I can't remember who it was against. Or was it friendly, was it, maybe? But anyway,
another game you mean.
You know,
it's the one that G missed, basically.
It's kind of, you know, Grealish, look at him, he's world class. Look at Foden, he's world class. Look at this one, he's world class. England have got the better Mount, he's fantastic. England have got players to stand up against any of the other nations in Europe.
I'm not on this train, by the way.
There is absolutely nothing to say that that is the case. There's nothing to say that's the case. There's nothing to say that this is different now going into this tournament. They've got a chance of going, you know, getting to the latter stages. But beyond that, I don't see them winning it. And I don't think it matters whether Southgate's the manager or whether Pep Guardiola's the manager. They haven't got the players.
But that's the thing. I think with a top manager, I think England would be dark horses with the team they've got. That's the train I'm on. But with Southgate, I just think they're, like you say, as soon as they'll face someone good, they'll go out. That would be progress for me in the tournament, actually. England beating someone good, beating a decent team. And trust me, if they'd done that, if they'd come up against a decent team in the World Cup in the quarterfinals, we wouldn't have this semi-final argument to fall back on.
I just think when it comes down to it, yeah, there's so much put on. There's too much onus put on managers. The manager's got to do this. The manager's got to do that. When it comes down to it, players win games of football. The teams with the best players win championships, win tournaments, and whatever. It's simple. That's what Guardiola said the other week. You know, this is what. We can dress it up with all this stuff about managers and tactics and this formation, that formation. In the end, it just comes down to who's got the best players. And, you know, England, when it comes to when England are put under pressure, when England can't get the ball, when England are in a situation where things are going against them, it's not just about players and having, you know, it's about having a mentality that you can drag yourself out of it. And a manager can't necessarily do that. Manager can't necessarily run on the pitch and do your job for you. You've got to have the right mental, you know, the right mentality and the right characters on the pitch to drag you out of situations. And the problem is, whenever England come under pressure in those situations, they can't handle it. They cannot handle it. That's what happened in the World Cup semi-final. They were 1-0 up in that semi-final. Most teams, most national teams, right, found themselves 1-0 up at halftime against Croatia, would have gone on to win that game.
Or with a top manager.
I don't know. I think it actually comes down to England came out and that, and you expect the players need to actually work it out on the pitch. They need to work it out. Seriously, watching England is like watching Spurs. Seriously, it's like watching Spurs. They find different ways to lose games when they're put under pressure. Yeah, when they put on any degree of pressure, they can't handle it. They're mentally weak, and I just don't see that when it comes to it. You look at the Germans, right? Germans haven't always had great sides, but the Germans, you know, the Germans, when they're under pressure, when they go 2-0 down, you never want to count them out. You never say, oh, that's it for the Germans, they're finished. You always feel that they've got something else there. They could come back. They've got something about them. But England are great when the going's good. When things are difficult for them and when teams really put it on them, they fail. And that is, I don't see anything in this team, and I don't see anything amongst these players that everyone keeps telling me about, you know, Grealish, Mount, Foden, Madison, all of these players. When the pressure's on against the top European nations, they will fold. It's simple as that.
G, who wins the Euros?
I'm going to go Belgium.
Marv?
I'm going to go France.
Ollie?
Yeah, you can't look beyond France, really.
I think Belgium are just as bad as England in terms of choking, if I'm honest, based on...
Yeah, I agree.
And they've got more talent than England have, so... Yeah. And it's Martinez still, isn't it? Is it still Martinez?
Yeah, it's still Martinez.
That's just Southgate in different clothes, isn't it?
Have they got the defence, though? Have they got the defence, though, Marv?
But what, Belgium?
Yeah.
Not with your boy back there now. Like, all of I mean, they might still, for all I know, they probably still play Vertonghen at this rate as well. So.
I think they are.
So the answer's a big fat no in your face. That's what it is. And I did the research, right? I'm looking at the team that lost to Holland, and there's a lot of players that we talked about that we've picked in our squad, but I can't look past the fact that Fabian Delph and Ross Barkley started, right? That in
Did
itself,
they start?
Yeah. And yeah, Ali and Lingard came off the bench. So put that in your pipe. He picked shit back then as well. So basically, what I'm saying is plenty of room for growth.
I've been looking at Italy, you know. I think Italy might come back strong. No, I look at their squad.
What, to win it though, Jordan?
Yeah, I think Italy.
You know who's who I like though is Chiesa's son for Juve.
Enrico, he's been good.
I like him.
Under the radar.
Yeah, I like him. But let me be clear, another place where we're poles apart. I don't think they get into the quarterfinals here.
I'm going to put a pound on Italy.
What about the Portuguese?
I've got them on my list here. Portugal squads.
It's on paper, it's crazy, isn't it? It's weird. But they've always struggled for a proper number nine. That's the issue. Even since back in the days when I used to really like football, like the likes of Pauleta and Nuno Gomes were all shit. Yeah, they just always had like the likes of Figo and those man, Pepe and those guys around him.
Compare Ronaldo there now, though.
Yeah, you could do, yeah. I mean, you've got Bruno. Don't discount Bruno. If VAR's on and pens are about, Bruno's there. And that's another reason why I'm taking Ward-Prowse, right? Because they're usually choking a shootout for England. And I'll back my boy Prowse to put it top bins and a pen as well. Yeah, take a pen.
Prowse should be there. I'm with Jordan all the way in that England should play to their strengths. Play to your strengths. Don't be embarrassed about it.
But that's the thing. You know what's funny? You guys say play to the strengths, which is like set piece headers and stuff. Like this narrative about Maguire being good in the air, I've seen it discounted every game we play.
It's
like,
nonsense.
He is terrible in the air. And like we are putting corners on his head. And I just don't know what's going on. But let me tell you, you're only as good as the person on the other end of a cross. So Ward-Prowse is gonna put it in the mixer, right? But and that is England's strength, putting it in the mixer. But if you're banking on Maguire here, you're gonna be really, really disappointed. Like really disappointed.
I mean, the one thing England have got in their favour is that if they're playing most of their games at Wembley, they can't complain, oh, yeah, you know, we've got to go and play in Spain. We've got to go and play in Spain and it's too hot, you know, or all the normal that you hear. You know, this is whether they should understand, and they should be able to get through that, and that's an opportunity for them, because otherwise you'd be hearing all the normal nonsense. They should be able to navigate this. They should be.
Marvin, how far did England get?
Quarterfinals, tops.
Do they play Germany if they get to the quarterfinal? Is it Germany?
This is where I disagree with you, right? Because the last tournament, the last World Cup, Germany were terrible, right? I just want to put that out there. And let me tell you, I had an accumulator yesterday.
What are you disagreeing on?
Because you said, the Germans haven't had great sides and still pull out.
I'm talking historically.
Fine. The only thing I'd say is the other big team that we're talking about here is I played an accumulator yesterday, right? All my bets came in. I had Denmark. They spanked Moldova 8-0. The one game where I was absolutely shitting myself was Spain-Georgia. And I watched it because that was the last thing. And they were shit. Shit. And they won by a scrappy goal. So the only thing that, the point I'm trying to make is the only thing that might work in England's favour is, historically, personally, and I'm not speaking for you lot, I might, just some of the teams that I think are going to be there or thereabouts are actually a lot shitter than we think they are. Like, Spain was shit. It's Georgia. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? If England played the way Spain played against Georgia, they'd be uproar. They were that bad.
But there's a thing. This doesn't apply to Spain necessarily, but sometimes a lot of those teams, big nations, the lead up to the tournament isn't always or often good.
Agree.
But then they know they go into tournament modes when, you know what I mean, on game one.
But so, the thing is, that
Spain are bad.
That's the point that I'm trying to make, though. It's not just poor form. It's actually who they're relying on. Like, Morata is their guy, and he is shit. Yeah. Like really shit. So that's kind of where I'm at, right? So we'll see.
Ollie, how far did England go?
Quarter sounds about right.
Going semis.
I say out the group.
Right out of the group stage.
Wow. No, out of the group. They'll get out of the group, but no further.
Oh, second round. Okay, fine.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh wow.
I thought you were trying to be do a Jordan there.
Do a Jordan there. Look, it's not like it hasn't happened before.
Yeah, agreed.
That is true.
We forget the time when, was it Iceland? One of the Nordic countries just packed about.
What was the group that had America in there?
Algeria. It's Algeria, America, and England. And who was the fourth team?
Oh, I remember that. They needed to win, and Jermaine Defoe scored a 1-0. I remember being in a pub watching the tiny screen thinking, I should have gone home to watch this. And then when I watched it, I thought, I should have stayed at work.
Which World Cup was that? Was that 2006?
That was the Rob Green one.
Yeah. No, 2006 sounds about...
I think it's later, 10. Yeah.
It was the one where Defoe scored to win
South Africa, wasn't it?
Oh, South Africa. South Africa. Yeah.
Where it was altitude. They couldn't play at altitude. That was the problem.
Always something. They'll blame COVID if this doesn't work out.
They will. And just final point before we wrap up, guys. I was trying to ask Ollie about this on the weekend. But
did you ring him, George?
What's wrong with you?
It's an innocent question. It's a question, bro.
Anyway, and we were talking about the possibility. Well, I was saying, I reckon there's a growing possibility that the whole Euros could be in England. It's looking more and more like it could be a possibility. Would you go if they let fans in?
I don't know. It depends on where we are from a COVID perspective. I don't like England that much. If the world's returned to relative normality and everyone's going out having fun, then if I could get tickets, it's kind of like a once in a lifetime type of opportunity. I don't think we're going to see many things. But to be clear, Jordan, I thought the Euros pre-COVID, sprinkling it around Europe, was stupid in the first place. I think now with COVID and the fact that you kind of need to keep people in their respective countries just to quell the spread, doing anything other than keeping it in one country, again, to me, is a nonsense, right? And I'd even think about how you let the fans in and stuff like that. So I thought sprinkling it around is rubbish, because you get that whole energy of it's in France, it's in Spain, like around the grounds in that country. Sprinkling it around just makes it another United Nations tournament, right? So I was never against that. But if a ticket comes my way and normality is resumed, I'll sit next to G and poke all the holes in why Sam Johnston shouldn't be there.
G, would you go?
Yeah, I'd go. You know, I mean, I'm hearing even that they might use the FA Cup semi-finals as like a, you know, like a tester for the, you know, for the tournament. So, yeah, there's a ticket. I'll go. You know, I went to Chelsea Leeds, which is the one game that we got after the lockdown. And like, yeah, no, I'd definitely go, but I'm not. I think a lot of people are a lot more COVID conscious than me. Like, I stick to the rules because there's nothing else to do. If there's something to do, I'll go and do it. So, yeah I'd definitely go.
Yeah. G's and definitely left his house a few times against me.
Absolutely not. That's the second time I was trying to set me up on camera.
I mean, let me be clear, I was with him. So not only is it true, I'll put myself on the block and say I also broke the rules. The fact that he's now trying to distance himself is typical G.
And just to wrap up, this is a really awkward stretch reach of a segue. Ollie, does Kane start for Spurs next season?
Ooh.
Oh, wow. Where's that come from?
I'm just... the talk is hotting up.
There's no there's absolutely no reason why he should remain at Spurs, none whatsoever. If I'm honest, he needs to leave. I'd love him to stay. The only thing I could see, the only scenario where I could see him staying, is if the right offers don't come in for him, and they might not, because you know Levy's going to want ridiculous money. And the only club that can pay that ridiculous money is Man City. I mean, United could pay it as well. But the thing is, he's also got to look at it as well. I don't know, you know, if you're looking at it in terms of him winning trophies, he needs to go. But there's no guarantee if he goes to Man United, he's going to win anything. Not under Ollie.
Guarantee he's not going to win anything.
Well, there you go. He's, you know, Chelsea is a no-no. There's no way Levy and Abramovich are ever going to do business.
No chance.
So that's not going to happen. Man City is the only option for him, but I'm not convinced that he's the kind of player that Pep will want.
Can I bearing in mind
what you... Sorry?
I think United is... I think they're the only team he goes to.
But what's the guarantee? Oh. Where's the guarantee?
No, there isn't.
The guarantee is that we're a number nine short.
So, yeah, absolutely. Not only that, but you'll always keep spending, whereas Spurs won't. So, you know, there's more of a chance. Don't get me wrong. There's more of a chance of him winning stuff at Man United than there is at Spurs. But what I would say is that there's no guarantee.
I think he's a smart guy. I think he's a smart guy. He knows Ole's going to get sacked at some point within the tenure of his contract. And we might get someone decent.
He's on the verge of getting a new contract.
They love you there. They love him there, Marv. They love him there.
I don't see that. Do the fans love him?
That doesn't matter.
Let me tell you, 2 points that I'll make really quickly.
Do the fans run the club or does Glazer? Glazers?
Fair enough, I take that point. But let me be clear, a new contract means fuck all in the wonderful world of football, right? So if they give it to him, fair play, he could still get sacked. We just have to pay him a bigger bump when we sack him. And second of all, love is very fickle at Man United. Let's be very, very clear about what love is at Man United. So if we started the season the way Liverpool did this season, right, and we're Liverpool, we'd have sacked Ole by now. I guarantee you.
Marv.
Guarantee you.
Marv, you should have sacked in the 10 minutes after the Leicester defeat.
Let me tell you something. The way you said Marv, I thought you were going to tell me something that I was going to disagree with.
10 minutes, seriously, to lose that game against Leicester was just, I mean, how many more of these games, how many more times are you going to lose these big games where you should be expected to win?
It's not good. Marv is frozen. I don't know what's happened to his internet connection there.
But yeah, I mean, if you put me on the spot, I would say it's 60-40, probably 70-30, actually, that he's not going to be playing for Spurs next season. 70-30 against him playing for Spurs next season, because he needs to go somewhere. But as I say, I don't I don't see any of the options other than Man City being an option where he can go there and say that guarantee. It's not like when Teddy Sheringham left Man United, left to go to Man United, and it was like guaranteed this guy's going to win some stuff when he goes to play for Ferguson. You know, so there's just, no guarantee.
Do you not think that put 25 goals in a number nine at United, that significantly pushes them? No.
Wow. Absolutely not. No. Wow. No, I don't see it at all. No. I don't see.
So Marvin, let me ask you.
When you say no, you don't think so either, or
yeah, I agree with you. I think you could put Mbappe in there. Something's fundamentally wrong.
Exactly.
Hurry up and wrap this up, Jordan. Ask your question. I want to go.
As long as the fact is, Jordan, as long as Solskjaer's at that club, right, they're going to have problems getting over the line. He will probably find some way to lose the Europa League final against Arsenal. That's how bad it is with Solskjaer.
George, have you got a question for me, or can I go?
I have.
I've reached the end of my tether with those two. I've got
if there's going to be an £100 million outlay on a player this summer, would you rather it was on Kane, a centre-back, or a Sancho?
Out of those three options, I'd put it on Kane. But let's be clear, my shopping list starts with Haaland as my first number nine ask, and Kane is my second choice, right? Okay. But actually, yeah, Kane would be the preference there. And let me be clear, I never wanted to spend £100 million on Sancho. I still don't, right? So let me, if that's the price, the money you're giving me, that determines how I play, how I spend my money.
Okay. Do you think City will be in for Haaland?
I think every man and his dog is going to be in for Haaland. Oh, I think the difference between Haaland and everyone else is there's something about me that tells me he's not just going to be that Lewandowski replacement and wants to go somewhere else. I think the challenge is, the rumours I'm hearing is he wants to go to Madrid. And Benzema's, what, 33, 34? So it's the perfect time to switch it up. But I just don't know if Madrid's got the cash. I think Spain...
Madrid won overall, Mbappe.
Well, I don't... I think... I'm not sure Mbappe moves yet. I think out of the two, I think Haaland's more likely to be moving before Mbappe.
He will. When they go out against Bayern in the Champions League, he will.
it's your boy Poch, isn't it? He ain't winning that game.
He ain't winning.
I'm not even sure he's winning the French league.
Well, there you go. Yeah. So Mbappe goes.
I disagree.
What do you disagree on?
I think Poch goes far in the Champions League.
What, you think they're going to beat Bayern?
I do.
I think that's a wrap.
I don't know about
Poch. Crazy prediction. They're not some small team anyway.
What's the chance we got of get to the final? Because remember, I talked about last game about doing something. George, we got a pretty good draw. We got Porto.
That's true.
Would you get in the semi?
Either Liverpool or Real Madrid.
Okay.
We got a nice draw.
You could do that.
Okay. But that's what I hate about knockout stuff. We're basing this on the fact they've got an easier run than someone else.
It's like England. Semi-final team.
Like, let me tell you, the team I would want in that draw was Porto, and flipping Chelsea went and got them. Like, I can't believe.
Yeah, we never get that. That's what it feels like. Okay. 2012 all over again.
Yeah.
Marvin G. Ollie, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on Spotify. We're on Apple Podcasts, across all the socials as well. Till next time, peace.
Peace.
Jordan, would you not?